Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Chicago, it's DJ Moore here. I'm glad to be here, excited to be here.
DJ Moore, Chicago Bear wide receiver.
The 3rd and 3, DJ Moore is up at the top of the screen. Caleb looking that way, going that way. Moore's got the first down. DJ Moore takes it right around the 26-yard line.
Boy, there's nothing like having a receiver that can do this route right here and give you 4 yards of distance to make a nice, easy throw when you gotta have it.
So, it's out to the first down for the Bears. DJ Moore dancing through the secondary on the sideline. Stays in bounds on a first down right around midfield for Moore.
I tell you, you don't see many guys as big as DJ Moore with that kind of quickness. I think you could take more of an advantage of him with some of these quick screens and quick throws, because very seldom does the first guy get him on the ground.
DJ Moore chatting it up with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
We're going to bear down.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to DJ Moore, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, check them out, aturo.com. DJ, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing good.
How you feeling physically, man? I mean, it seemed like, it seemed like Caleb Williams may have taken more hits, but it seems like you took a lot of hits and paid a big price for pretty much every catch you made.
I'm a little sore after the game, but nothing too concerning.
What was the level of frustration last night after that game? We saw you going off the field at the end after the last incompleted pass. It seemed like it was intended for you, and it looked like you were feeling the way everyone watching felt, that it was just a long night watching the Bears offense.
It was definitely a long night. More frustrated with myself than anything. You got to make some of those plays, and it could be a different ball game.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I thought you did very well. You caught 6 of the 10 targets, and some of them weren't really targeted to you. For 53 yards, you led the team in that category, and you heard Chris Collinsworth singing your praises. So I think everyone understands how tough a player you are, and 2 of those catches resulted in first down. So you're not just catching the ball, but you're taking it past people and picking up some first downs, and including you had a 19-yard catch in that game. So that was fun to see.
Yeah, that was fun. Some of the targets I do wish I just would have made special plays on them, and we'd be talking about a whole different ball game.
DJ, how would you describe what's going on with the communication between Caleb Williams and the receivers? It seemed at times last night, maybe it was because of the venue and it was loud, or maybe the atmosphere was just made it difficult to be on the same page, but it looked a couple times like you guys weren't on the same page. How would you describe it?
Just the ebbs and flows of getting offense down packed with everybody. So, I mean, we was communicating, and some of the things is in both our controls. Speaking on Caleb and then the receivers aspect is sometimes it can be a little off when things are not going so well.
I'm wondering how is Keenan Allen holding up? They said last night that he has plantar fasciitis and that it presents as a heel injury. And that's the first I've heard of that. And we know, you know, how serious that kind of thing can be. The whole week, there was sort of this expectation that he might play, but Rome Odunze would not be available. And as it turned out, Rome, despite a sprained knee, ended up being able to play, but Keenan Allen couldn't. So what's the read on that one? Do you think it's just a something he's going to have to deal with for the season, or is it going to be something that subsides and kind of wears off at a certain point?
I don't know, actually. That's more of a question for him. But I do know he's doing everything to get back and be out there.
What's your role now after two games where the offense has not met expectations? We might have a rookie quarterback, could be struggling with his confidence, even though he does have a lot of savvy. How do you handle that, DJ, in terms of what to say to Caleb Williams, or if you have to say anything at all, given the start that you guys are off to?
Just go back to the drawing board. When practice come around and something don't look right, we talk about it, and then at the end of practice, we got to do it again. Just get the reps in and everything how you just want it to look and be on the same page.
You know, it's interesting because that defense is not known for blitzing, and in fact, they've got a couple of good pass rushers on the edge, and usually they're able to get home with just running four, but they blitzed over 40% of the time, which is the most they have done so with their head coach. He's just not a guy that likes to blitz, but they blitzed a lot last night, and it was effective. And I'm wondering, is that something that we're going to see until the numbers change when the quarterback is blitzed?
Yeah, it's going to be a copycat league until we figure out a way to stop it. At that point, I mean, they wasn't blitzing a lot, and then they blitzed us a lot, and we didn't really have an answer for it. So, I mean, kudos to them for having a game plan that came out and worked, and we just got to figure out a way to next time to attack it.
What's the key to getting the deep downfield passing game going? That is yet to happen in two games, and I don't know if it's as simple as, well, you got to protect the quarterback, but is it that simple, and how much of that missing element is something you guys are going to be focusing on?
It can be that simple, but we also need the run game to get the play action going. Everything goes hand in hand. The run opens the pass, and then when you start passing the ball, it opens the run back up. So we got to have those things in conjunction together.
Yeah, the running game has been stymied thus far, and we're wondering, you know, is it possible that there's too much shotgun? Is it possible that that, you know, you become more predictable in terms of, even with the running game, you're starting deeper in the backfield? Would it be better if you were trying to do, you know, run the ball out of a regular snap, and then maybe have some play action help you a little?
I don't know. We got a little bit of both in our identity. So once we get great at one, I think we'll stick with it. And then that'll be how we get the run game going. But right now, we just need to figure out our identity and just go from there.
This segment with DJ Moore is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. DJ, last night you guys had the ball for 70 snaps. You played 69 of them. Roma Dunze played 66 of them. I know your depth was depleted. What does that do to you in terms of endurance? How difficult was it to keep your conditioning up for 69 of those 70 snaps?
It wasn't really hard. You know, you wired into the game, so you really don't be really paying attention to the snap count until you see it at the end of the game. I was like, dang, I really only came out, I think, for like one play, and that was because I had ran deep. Other than that, I would have probably stayed in the game.
I'm curious, when you have you ever kicked at all? Have you ever attempted a field goal just in practice, just goofing around?
I have. I kicked growing up, and I was playing around kicking at Maryland during practices too.
I got to tell you, like, when I was watching that game, it occurred to me that Buffalo lost the Super Bowl because Scott Norwood missed a 47-yard field goal. And I thought to myself, like, a 47-yard field goal is a long field goal. That's not an easy thing to do. Then I'm watching last night. There were five 50-yard field goals, and the only one that wasn't 50 yards, that Fairbear made a 47-yarder. And I'm thinking, like, is it that easy now? Can people just kick field goals without any – he kicked a 59-yard field goal after you guys had closed the score to 3 at the end of the half. Is it just no big deal? Everybody can kick field goals. What is your thought on that? I mean, seriously, it's amazing.
Man, they get paid very well too. They go out there and do their job, and yeah. So I guess the 50-yard plus field goals is becoming way easier now, and I give kudos to them for that because it's a lot of pressure to go out there and do that.
DJ, you know how social media works. There's a clip of you after an incompletion walking by the sidelines circulating, and you seem to say something to Tyson Bagent, and people are trying to interpret exactly what you said out of frustration or what. Maybe it was just something else. Do you remember that? Have you seen that, and what did you say?
Yeah, I seen it. I was just saying, what did he see on the play? I was like, that was just it. But then they was calling me to go back in the game, so I was like – he didn't really get a chance to answer.
You can't miss a snap. You have to play all of them. There's no one else.
Yeah, everyone thinks you were telling them to get ready to come in, or maybe you were saying to them, did you get a new tattoo of any kind? Because you guys are tight that way.
Nah, it was nothing. It was nothing out of hand or bad, so.
How good are the Texans? Boy, they look like a team that whether – you know, it's offensively with C.J. Stroud and their weapons and Nico Collins and that receiving crew. But defensively, as we were talking about, they came after Caleb with more blitzes than they maybe had planned to and they really ever have before. Yeah. And their secondary, pretty good athletes back there.
Yeah, they're a playoff team, and we was in the game with them. We got to execute some of those calls. And have explosives on them, and as we're speaking about a whole different ball game.
The first interception that that Caleb Williams threw, he was trying to throw the ball to you, and he didn't get it there. You made a good effort going up for it. Do you think? I mean, that was I know this is going to sound idiotic, but that was the better of the two interceptions. The other one was kind of into triple coverage. I'm just wondering how close you came to that one.
I was say like pretty close, but he had eyes on the ball before I think I could really turn around and really judge what was going, where the ball was going. And he just made a play, snatched it out of the air, tried to get it out of his hands, but I couldn't.
You know, DJ, I always wonder this when you play a night game like you guys did yesterday. During the day, there was a lot going on in the NFL. Crazy day around the league with some upsets and some things that might, you know, resonate with a team that's going into a tough environment like you guys did and playing a playoff team like you guys did. Do you pay attention to what happens during the day of a night game? What did you do yesterday?
I think I saw Justin Jefferson's long touchdown, and I seen some of the Marvin Harrison stuff, but that was about it because I just was seeing the highlights of it, but I really wasn't watching games.
I'm curious when we talk about a game day like that, when you're playing at night, everybody's waiting for Sunday night. You got a lot of nervous energy. What do? Do you just hang around the room? Do you go for a walk? How do you fill the time before a night game, especially on the road?
You just try to keep your mind off of football. The only last minute studying you got to do, but for the most part, I just was relaxing and just waiting for the game.
So what was the takeaway? What did Matt Eberflus say to you guys before dispersing, and what is the message this week as you guys start to get ready for the Colts?
Just stay together. It's a long season, and it's hard to win on the road, and we got it again this week going to Indianapolis, and just got to stay together and get this first one on the road, and things turn around.
I'm wondering, how loud was it there? You know, when we were kind of breaking down the game and talking about it, that's the first road game. They had the building open, but there were still some, you know, issues just with some formation stuff. I think there were two clock penalties. I'm just wondering how difficult it was to just kind of operate amid the noise of the building.
It wasn't too bad. You know, when they had really good momentum, the crowd was out. But other than that, you get everything in the huddle and do what we do. Some of those just faults on us for not being locked in all the way and hearing the play call.
During the little skirmish on the sidelines where Roschon Johnson got punched, where were you in the middle of all that, and what happened?
I was on the field still. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know Roschon had got punched. And I was with, I think, Darnell was going back and forth with somebody, and I had to pull him away from him.
When you think about, you know, the teams that you're playing and the defense, that's a good defense, as David said. But you played a really good defense as you were practicing, as you're getting ready. How would you compare the difficulty of going against the same defense day in and day out with the Bears? And I'm sure you're facing, you know, Jalen Johnson quite a bit. Versus taking on another opponent and going after different guys. I'm sure you're getting their best defender as well.
Yeah. I mean, our defense is like in top in every category. So going against them helps the game be easier. And then when we get into the game, no matter what coverage they play, and I know I'm going to get that DB's best, and I got to go out there and be my best.
What'd you think of CJ Stroud?
I mean, he was out there doing his thing, and I don't know. He was just being a quarterback. He was good, and he got him to win.
You've played with many quarterbacks over the course of your career, and you've seen some young ones. How is Caleb handling things? They mentioned on the broadcast that after the first game, he came in and he was ready to get coached up. He didn't push back. Frankly, I know some players, or I've heard of some players, that weren't interested in getting coached. So that's probably a good sign. What can you tell us about his demeanor in terms of the way he's handling this?
He wants to learn. He still wants to learn. Like, he wants to be involved in what's going on and what's getting called. So I know he'll look back at this and learn from it and try not to make the same mistakes twice.
DJ, thanks so much for getting up and calling us this morning. Best of luck this week against
really
the Colts.
Really appreciate it, buddy.
Man, thank y'all.
That is DJ Moore, the Bears' best player on offense, and, you know, good guy. I you know, it's so funny because he walks by Tyson Bitch. Hey, what did you see on that play? And
it's a fair question given how much attention that got on social media and everyone jumping to conclusions.
And he saw it. He knew that.
Yeah, he knew that was the case. Next week against the Colts, the wide receivers could be in the blocking phase of the game. They should be practicing their blocking this week because if the Bears don't run the ball or try to run the ball down the Colts' throats, they weren't paying attention to what the Packers did.
Could be a 100-yard game for DeAndre Swift, right?
It could be.
If they get 100 plays. Hey, stop with that
you
joke.
Lay off the
that wasn't funny
why
the
aren't
first
you a Swifty?
Time.
What do you have to get to Swift?
I hate her. Oh, no, that wasn't
no,
me.
No, that was
yeah, sorry. I love Taylor Swift. Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken
took
care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I mean, that's the defense's job to make a challenge for, you know, challenge for the offense, myself, and things like that. Could have used a couple more calls, you know, and coming out of half and things like that when they tried to, you know, start blitzing. Got to it later in the, you know, later in the quarters and things like that. After got to the sideline, the quarters, you know, a few times and things like that. So every week's going to be a challenge. Every week, you know, it's tough to go out there and win games. Like I said, their job to go out there and make it tough for us. So we got to find the, you know, the right, you know, right calls. I got to find the right calls, you know, at the line of scrimmage. We got to get, you know, the play in, huddle sequence, all of that. Get up to the line, do all these other things so, you know, we can go out there and execute.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's the voice of Caleb Williams. That is the Bears quarterback talking after the game about the pressure that that they were under and the difficulty they had in trying to achieve anything under that pressure.
The Texans gave every team on the Bears schedule the blueprint to plan to beat the Bears and the rookie quarterback until the offensive line gets to the point where it can protect him. Right now, it cannot. And so the Bears are where they are. Where are they? Glad you asked. Mully, through two games in the Super Bowl era, this is the fourth worst start that the Bears are off to. They've gained 355 yards in two games. There's only been three other seasons where they've had a lower output through two games. 1982, 337. 2003, 335, and 1967, which was the worst ever at 254 yards in the first two games. This is bad. This is not improvement. This is not what we expected, but this won't last forever.
Well, I would argue that this is what we expected. If you're going to go down to Houston and wear those awful orange uniforms, this is going to happen, David.
You are what you wear.
You are what, yeah. And orange is the new black. No, it isn't.
And they looked putrid.
They looked
in more ways than one.
Yes. The offense. How are you supposed to succeed if you're wearing that outfit?
How can you block anybody in those helmets?
What is their record now in that uniform? Didn't we talk about this last week?
They have not. It's 1-4 now, I believe.
Yeah, we expressed our disdain.
A lot of disdain.
For the uniform.
We were old men shouting at clouds.
We are old men shouting
okay,
at clouds.
Okay.
Because we're doing so
we
right
were
now.
Right.
We were totally right.
Sometimes the old guys know what they're talking about.
Yes. You're going to wear an orange helmet, you're going to have that kind of thing happen to you.
Gives me a headache. They gave me a headache last night.
Oh, it was awful to watch. Awful. Let's get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Tony is on the road. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, guys. So I was wondering what I was going to dislike most as a Bears fan going into the season, and I knew it was maybe not taking a Doomsday with the ninth pick, but man, what would Vrabel have done or Harbaugh? Adjustment at halftime to the blitz, nothing. Two horrible challenges in that game. We wasted two timeouts in the third quarter. I think maybe one early in the fourth. I don't even know why they called the timeout. Then he doesn't make. I mean, absolutely. We had a delay of game or, you know, out of a timeout, I think
a guy jumped off sides out of a timeout. They were going to have a delay of game, so they call a timeout. They come back and they run a play where I forget who it was, but whoever it was should be lined up.
Correct. Well, that was bad.
Correct.
The operation was poor.
Yes.
And Matt Eberflus had a bad night challenging plays he never should have challenged.
What
0
was
for
that?
2. Well, for the first one, he got bad advice because it was clearly inbounds, and he dragged his toe, and you could have seen that from the upper deck of the stadium that he dragged his toe, and he kicked up some
little
pebbles or whatever they call them. Yeah,
plastic part of a tire
exactly.
Or whatever the hell it is.
And then the Kyler Gordon play, Kyler Gordon talked him into doing that.
Listen.
Never listen to the kid. Yeah, never listen to the player.
In the name of God, why would, like, if David Terrell was trying to talk you into it, don't do it.
Wow.
Well, he did that once. He did
that one out of the.
No, he went nuts one time and he did it and they challenged it and it wasn't even close.
Kyler Gordon made a great, tremendous defensive play.
He's a great athlete.
And it was almost a tremendous interception, but it hit the ground because it fell out of his Twice. So it wasn't like anything
was
close.
Like, I was sitting there like, what are you thinking? There's no way, there's no evidence that would reverse the call that was made.
You think that they could have used that timeout?
Oh, I think so.
Do you think they could have used that timeout?
Yeah, they said something like, well, they won't be able to look at another play until the two-minute warning. Or something. It was because it was the third quarter.
They could have, boom.
Yes,
timeout. And then a little maybe, less desperation.
Yes.
But I'm not sure it would have mattered because...
Maybe win the game? Maybe they'd have won the game?
Well, look, no. I know you guys sort of scoffed earlier when I said this, but... With a minute 37,
they had the ball.
They had the ball at the 20-yard line, down six.
They had a big completion to Roma.
With no timeouts.
How long was that pass? That was the biggest one of the.
It was the biggest one of the game. 27 like, yards, I believe.
Yeah, 27 yards.
And you looked at that.
A couple more of those, the game's over in your favor.
Molly, it sounds ridiculous right now because they had seven sacks and the Texans blitzed 41% of the time and 36 out of 37 passes. They had pressure, but there will be a day. There better be a day that Caleb Williams, with no timeouts, gets the ball at the 20 with 97 seconds left, needing a touchdown to win a game, that he wins the game, he leads a drive.
You know, but I mean this sincerely. I hope we get Matt Eberflus on the record as to what he was thinking about both those challenges. I don't know if he was asked about it. Last night after the game.
But it wasn't direct, and it wasn't as good of an explanation as you would want the day after.
I want to know, what is your philosophy regarding challenges? I think it's an important thing to know.
Okay, that's one.
I talked to Lovey about this one time,
mm-hmm.
and he said that they were going to challenge any game-changing play. It didn't matter if they were right or wrong. If they felt it was a game-changing play... They were so a fumble on the three, whatever it might be, they were going to challenge it because that's something that is worth trying to get changed. They didn't need to see the actual evidence. It was a game-changing play. We're going to challenge it. And I asked them, well, how are you going to know what a game-changing play is? There might be a bigger play after that if you use the challenge. And he said, whenever it's a game-changing play, we're going to challenge it, and we'll do it, the first one and the second one as they come.
I don't think that is a sound philosophy.
But at least I knew what
okay,
he was
fine.
Thinking.
Well,
I'm not saying it was a sound philosophy. I'm saying I understood what he meant, and I'm not saying it was right. I don't know what Eberflus is thinking.
Well, I want to know what he's thinking,
but I'm
more interested, frankly, in what he is hearing, what he is doing, and the advice he is getting. Who's watching what? And who's telling him to do whatever he decides to do?
Spill, Eberflus.
Spill.
We want the name.
Come on, Flusie.
Was that Kevin Warren in the box?
We want the name of whoever's telling you what to do. We want the name of your barber, too.
There you go. What does the barber know that
what
we
does
don't?
The barber know? Spill, let me Flusie. Ask,
if you found out it was Scott Hagel, how would you react?
Oh, my gosh. Boy, you have to bring Scott into it.
I'm choking. I'm just making a joke.
I want to know another thing on this philosophy that we're trying to get out of Flusie.
Let's find out the philosophy.
I want to know not just Matt Eberflus, but we talked about this. We alluded to it last week, but it happened even more so in week two yesterday. On fourth down, is this trend toward kickers not missing from long distance, which now, you know, Kaimi Fairbairn, now has six field goals of 50 or more yards this season. We're in week two. Does it change the way you approach fourth down?
If the guy's name is Fairbairn, doesn't he have to play in Chicago?
Fairbairn. There's an N.
It's Fairbairn.
Okay. Well, I think that...
that guy's awful
But you know
good.
What? Cairo Santos is awfully good. He
Listen,
hits from 52.
He hit a 53 and a 54 yarder. What do you mean 52? Can't you compute it?
He hit from over 50 as well. Also. And he also doinked the camera.
Camera doink?
It could be. Let's see.
Camera yes. doink.
Yes.
Yeah. Why is Collinsworth always around when the kicker hits the
Why
crossbar.
Am I annoyed by him?
Because, his voice.
Know, something happened.
It's great, Matt. You're right. It does.
Maybe it was his son. Perry is listening online. Hey, Perry.
Hey, Perry.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey,
I'll be systematic here. First off, there is no excusing it. I don't want to hear anything about the challenges. Inexcusable, and not only inexcusable, stupid. And this looks a lot like last year from the offensive side. They're not prepared, stupid penalties, no rhythm, and the offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, do you not know how to move the pocket and combat a pass rush? How about some more two tight end sets to help out? There's got to be plays for a pass rush. So, and the running game looks dismal. Now let's get to the disaster of an offensive line that Ryan Poles owns. He's supposed to be the offensive line guru. He put this trash together. And finally, the quarterback play. Now, that guy's pressured like crazy. But the problem I'm having is when he's not pressured, he's missing guys long again. And the communication with the receivers isn't there. He's missing guys with side-out passes. So something's not right there. Something's not clicking. And the other guy, when the Bears made a defensive changes in the second half and they got a good pass rush, he's still making plays under duress. So something's not clicking right now. Hopefully it gets better.
Thanks, Perry.
Yeah.
All good points.
Yeah, I think
– all valid points.
I think once again we saw Eberflus make adjustments at halftime and his defense played better in the second half than the first.
You got to give him credit for that.
It's two games
running. You've got to give the Bears credit for adjusting defensively at halftime, and they're better in the second half. That defense is a top five unit when they play like that.
He's a complete fool when it comes to challenges. I'll give you that.
Nobody said that.
But he's done pretty well.
He had a bad night.
He's done pretty well with the adjustments.
He has. Offensively.
Pity they can't do that. Now, what would Luke Getsy do?
Oh, stop it with the Luke Getsy love. He had to go, Mully. And stop it. You know he's pushing a button. I think that Shane Waldron, through two games, has some explaining to do about certain things. Number one, why in the world? What is the fascination with Gerald Everett? Please tell me. Due respect to the guy.
I tried to tell you before, and you told me he only had 25 days in the offense, but he played for him before.
That was Brett Rypien.
That's everyone I bring up.
Okay, Gerald
You're
Everett.
You're stuck on 25.
Gerald Everett has that play they ran to him yesterday, the first half. I mean, why? Why? So he played. Three targets yesterday.
Yeah.
Also, Shane Waldron, through two games, we're still asking about this identity. Is that because the offensive line can't block? Is that because the quarterback is overmatched? What is the reason we're still looking at two games and we don't have any semblance of an identity?
That's good. That is their identity. Their identity is that they have no identity because they can't
block. This is a faceless football team.
This is the bad offense football team. This is a bad offensive line football team. It's hard to run a play when you're under siege.
So I don't want to give up on the Bears offensive line. We're two games in. I feel like I felt
you did earlier.
I didn't. But I do not to mix our sports, but you know how I felt and talked about like when Kyle Hendricks just looked awful earlier in the year, and I was like, you got to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Now
look what happened.
And I know. So I think that I'm trying to be more patient, but.
So you're saying that the offensive line will have a Hendrick-style turnaround?
I don't know, but I think it's conceivable once they figure out what they do well and they try to lean into that.
Once they stop playing good teams.
I know we got a break. We'll get back to the phone calls, 312-644-6767. But let me ask you this to think about during the break. Do you think that they can focus? Can they block the run well? You think that they can block the run well enough to lean into that against a defense in the Colts that has been known now to – they gave up 260 rushing yards to the Packers. It's an invitation to the Bears to punch them in the mouth and to establish some sort of identity.
Well, I think, you know, it'd be fun if Roschon Johnson could punch someone in the mouth just to kind of get a little payback.
He went Tim Anderson on you. Like, he just never punched back.
Oh, that's so mean.
It is.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Yeah, I would. It's continuity, you know, playing together, you know, and you know, working to get the ball moving down the field, you know, in a positive way. And those guys are going to be working diligently to get that done, you know. So I feel really good about the men in the locker room on all sides of the ball, offense, defense, kicking. And I feel great about the offensive staff. And those guys are going to find solutions to be able to get better every single week. And that's what the process is.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. And that is the philosophy. It's called optimism.
Yeah.
It's going to get better. We're going to be better. Everybody's going to work hard. We'll be better.
Well, I think we talked to Big Z back at 725, and his plea for perspective it kind of surprised me. But it's a good point. We're in week two. You wake up this morning and you're the Chicago Bears, and are you in a three-way tie for second or last in the NFC North?
Right.
You've got the Vikings, who are a biggest surprise of the division through two games.
You're chasing the Vikings.
You're chasing the Vikings. Sam Darnold's been better than anybody thought. Justin Jefferson, 97-yard touchdown reception
awesome.
And run, and now he's hurt with a little bit of a quad injury. We'll see what that goes. But Lions lost to the Bucks. The Packers got back on track. They're 1-1, and you're the Bears, who went into a tough environment against a very good team, and you lost. So you can't let that define your season. And, Molly, you know how it is. You can't let one loss linger to create and lead to a second one.
No, no question.
You have to compartmentalize these things.
Here's the thing, and I say this with sincerity. You now have your next game is at the Colts. The Colts, things aren't working out real well.
Not going well.
Not opening the year in kind of the fashion they had hoped. And to lose at Green Bay when you're playing a quarterback that should be
– they were favored.
You should beat.
They were favored.
Well, they weren't favored before the quarterback got hurt, but then they were favored.
And
you're absolutely right.
And then they went in there and they made lost. Malik Willis look like the expert game manager. He was Brock Purdy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Protecting the football, putting it where it needed to be, and handing off to Josh Jacobs.
Brock Purdy, no longer Brock Purdy.
No, apparently not.
That's straight.
No, they missed Christian McCaffrey. Did you see that the 49ers, this is, I know, an aside, but they have not won in Minnesota since 1992, I think it is.
Is that right?
They have not won in Minnesota in over 30 years. Have crazy they, stat.
How often have they played there?
I mean, it has to be a handful of times, but still you would think that. Brock Purdy was not good yesterday,
no,
apparently.
No, he was bad.
And that team, they should have won that game. But the Vikings are... You know, Vikings and Brian Flores, they mean business. Brian Flores is a pretty good defensive coach.
312-644-6767. They've got good coaching. They do. And it matters.
It matters.
Kevin O'Connell, Irish American. Back off, Haw. I'm joking.
I like him as a play caller.
Yes, he's good. Don is on the west side. Hey, Don.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. That offensive line, man, is horrible from left to right, man. I say that respectfully. Like, I'm a truck driver. You know, you see me crossing lanes or not signaling, turning, or doing something wrong, you're going to call me out on it. So, meatball or not, that offensive line is horrible, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Coleman Shelton is I don't know what you call it. I don't know if you can call it turnstile in the middle of the offensive line, but he gets blew up every play. Every play he's getting blown up. And Caleb Williams, I mean, you know, this is not a down rant. You know, this is just speaking the truth. You know, we can't cover it up. Caleb Williams, you know, all right. You know, you got to make some of those throws. You're under duress, true enough, but you have to make a play. Stop overthrowing your receivers. Stop underthrowing your receivers. Get the location of the ball correct. Now, you know, you had some good balls that game, but it seemed a lot similar to week one and then from the preseason game where you still out there like your little shell shot. Okay, shake it off. Remember, you don't get nervous. The receivers get on the same page, and I agree. DJ Moore has a right to be frustrated. He really does. So I hope they go ahead and pull this together. The defense looks good. You know, Matt Eberflus. You know, he probably need to take a little off the top until his offense comes around. But I like his adjustments. You know, he's using conviction. I guess with the challenges, you know, he didn't really get a chance to see it, but he didn't want to miss opportunity, so he challenged. So, yeah, I think Shane Waldron needs to do a better job. And then I'll end it on this. Green Bay, you know, now I'm going to show you that, like, they are a real class act, even though I can't stand them. They're a real class act. It's like they reverted their game from a passing game, and it kind of went to what the Bears was doing with Fields, and they did, like, a little athletic running quarterback thing with the short passing game.
Yeah, he didn't throw a lot, Don. You're absolutely right.
Good call, Don.
That is
14 passes. 12 of 14, that's what Malik Willis was.
That's right.
And we talked last week, how will Matt LaFleur function when he's not calling plays for a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback? Well, because he shelved his ego. He didn't have to show everybody how smart he is. The Packers didn't need to worry about how cute their plays were.
Right.
Remember what Olin said? little too cute sometimes still. The Shane Waldron offense resembles so many others we have seen in Chicago. Just put your hand in the dirt, hand the ball off, and get the tough yard. Sometimes you just need to do that. And I think that's what the Packers realized, and that's how they were able to do what they did.
I feel bad for Shelton because he's just in the wrong situation. He's there playing center, and he's getting overrun, and he's getting knocked on his tail, and that's because they're coming every play, and he has to block mano a mano, and that is not his strength. And I feel bad for him because he's been exposed. Because their whole offense has been.
I feel bad for Coleman Shelton. I feel worse for Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Because Ryan Poles has left this offensive line in the state that it's in. And we can talk about that when we come back, if that's okay. A fair thing to say.
Fireable offense. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
I want to know what you mean.
I don't want to say that.
We'll say it next. Or at least we'll go David into saying to fire the.
No, we won't. No one's getting fired.
I'm joking. 312-644-6767. Back with your calls on the Plumbers 911 Football Monday. It's presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh. I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.